All right, welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. This is episode 135. So this week I'm keeping a little bit short on the episode length here. I have a super busy and really packed next 14 days. Of course, I just presented at Wade Barney, number 512 AFNAM in Illinois, and it was fantastic. Special thanks goes out to worshipful Master Lance and, of course, Jesse Slater for help setting that up and allowing me to come out and share in your fellowship, and for allowing me to present Freemasonry in America and its Colonial Tavern beginnings. So, of course, right after that, I had to work the next day and the entire weekend, and then I have class on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and then I go back to work for 4 days, and then I'm going down to Nashville, Tennessee to do the presentation for Doric Lodge, home of Brian Kennard, author of Steinbeck Citizen Spy. And if you missed that episode, it's just a few episodes back. Anyway, I'm really excited about the trip. I'll be heading down there with fellow Midnight Freemason, Brother Brian Shimian, so stay tuned for pictures along the way and all that good stuff that comes along with the trip. The Masonic Roundtable will be going live on Wednesday this week, and a bit later, most likely 9:30 or 10 Central. I think it's going to be 10 Central, actually. Keep an eye out on the Facebook page and Twitter for updates about this. We are all traveling around this week, so we had to push it back one day from Tuesday to Wednesday and an extra hour late. So make sure you guys are checking out the Midnight Freemasons on Facebook and reading all of those great articles at www.midnightfreemason.blogspot.com. Check out Brother Todd E. Creason's blog, which, if you guys don't know, Brother Todd Creason is the one who started the Midnight Freemasons. He is the original Midnight Freemason, so please check him out as well. Also, check out The Winding Stairs and check out the Far From Centered podcast. If you want to help this show out, check out all of the options on wcypodcast.com under the Support the Show tab. We have apps, affiliates, and donation options. And remember, if you're shopping through our affiliates, please use the promo code WCY at the checkout. That way, you get 10% off and they send a little bit back to the show to help keep the lights on. So without further ado, let's get right into this week's paper, which is called Masonry Tomorrow. And it was the third part of a Masonic Spring Workshop presented in 1990 by Brother David A. McCormick. I have a dream, a song to sing to help me cope with anything. If you see the wonder of a fairy tale, you can take the future even if you fail. I have a dream, a fantasy to help me through reality, and my destination makes it worthwhile, pushing through the darkness still another mile. I believe in angels, something good in everything I see. I believe in angels when I know the time is right for me. I will cross the stream, I have a dream. Some of you may know this song, I Have a Dream. It was made popular by a group known as ABBA in the early 1980s. I have used a portion of it to introduce some ideas about Masonry tomorrow, or Masonry in the future. First, we know Masonry is a living and growing entity. It prepares us for the future. Lao Tzu has said, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. But where do we begin? The answer is simple. You begin just where you are. If thou but settest foot on the path, thou shalt see it everywhere. This is a quote from Hermas Trismegistus. Preparing this paper has been extremely exciting for me. It has stimulated my unworked brain cells into action. It has stirred and awakened my imagination. Something I would like to share with you this weekend. We have heard about our past, our present, and now our future. Has anyone noticed how the speakers were placed? Our past and our present were talked about by two very experienced and seasoned Masons. I would like to thank both Jack and Myron for giving us some further light and giving us encouragement to search for more light with their excellent presentations. I have quote-unquote dared to dream. Stan, does this sound familiar? Our dream is to seek further light in Masonry. Our dream is to make the future and also live the future. A very beautiful lady said, I touch the future, I am a teacher. This was Krista McAuliffe, a grade school teacher and an astronaut who was on the Challenger mission in 1986. Her words are so true for us in the Masonic Order. We too are teachers. Our first step into Masonry is entered apprentices. This is, as we know, is where we take a candidate and introduce him into our order. by teaching him and tutoring him not to just the sublime degree of a master mason, but beyond. This is where I would boldly like to go, where no man has gone before, on an educational adventure into the future, and add some more light to the coming light. Knowledge is attained by degrees. Wisdom dwells in contemplation. There we must seek her. This is the start of the recipe for success. This is where we take our dream, mix it with motivation and action, add long hours of practice, dedication, and discipline, finally giving us our dream. Through the lectures we are taught and then finally participate in, by teaching them to others, deal with the future. The scriptures lay the foundation upon which we build a righteous life. Our lecture about the lambskin talks about the future. And of course, the northeast corner, this above all lectures, I believe, sticks out in all Masons' minds. It, too, deals with the future. Quote, "And from the foundation laid this evening, may you raise a superstructure, perfect in its parts." End quote. Perfection is here. It is attained by a process of taking away. No stroke of gavel or chisel can add anything to a rough ashlar. It may only remove. Perfection, then, is already within. The famous sculptor Gutrun Borglum, a Freemason, asked how he carved stone into statues, and he answered, quote, "It is very simple. I knock away with a hammer and chisel the stone I do not need, and the statue is there. It was there all the time." End quote. In the volume of the Sacred Law, we read, quote, "The kingdom of heaven is within you." End quote. Images are made by a process of taking away. The perfection is already within. All that is required is to remove the roughness. Quote, "Divesting our hearts and consciousness of the vices and superfluities of life." End quote. To show forth the perfect man and Mason, and to find the kingdom within. Masonry is also a progressive science. Continuing further as we advance in stages, we are continually learning and being taught. One of the several liberal arts and sciences we are taught is astronomy. This is a sublime science which inspires contemplative mind to soar aloft and perceive the wisdom, strength, and beauty of the great creator in the heavens. I attended a workshop last fall to do with my work, and our instructor, Dr. Jim Rubian, talked about the future and how we were in the pre-colonization age. That is, we are now building space stations to take us further out into space and start colonizing. The drawings on the boards are now being built. The technology is advancing at an ever-accelerating pace. A new computer chip has just been developed called the Fuzzy Chip. It has the ability to judge and reason. In that old technology or binary system, which is very basic, is either on or off, yes or no. The Fuzzy Chip can judge and will either slow down or speed up or be incremental. These things have come from dreams, from ambitions, from planning, and I will go so far as to say, as being from Masons. Our dreams will take us into the future. Our initial beginnings in Masonry came from within. Therefore, our future will come from within. Within every one of us, the future comes from building faith, the first step being dreaming. This is faith taking the first cautious steps. Mountain-moving faith begins with a dream. Unquestionably, the greatest power in the world is a creative idea. All success begins with a dream. Scientists at the Brain Research Institute at the University of California at Los Angeles believe that the creative capacity of the human brain approaches infinity. Your brain can store, combine, and create more bits of information and imagery than thousands of videotape recorders, tens of thousands of computers, and millions of microfilm cartridges. There are no limits other than the self-imposed. So don't censor your dreams. Give them free rein. A potent quote from Woodrow Wilson, a former president of the United States of America, said, "We grow great by our dreams. All big men are dreamers. They see things in the soft haze of a spring day or in the red fire of a long winter's evening. Some of us let these great dreams die, but others nourish and protect them, nurse them through the bad days till they bring them to the sunshine and the light, which comes always to those who sincerely hope that their dreams will come true." Dreams and imaginations go hand in hand. The Aluminum Company of America coined a wonderful word, imagineering. It means letting your imagination soar, and then engineering will make it happen. Another word I would like to introduce you to was once lost and now is found. It came to light when I was asked to present this paper. Why are we here this weekend? And what are we doing? We are sharing thoughts. This word will give a new meaning to the Banff Springs Workshop, and will probably be introduced as its new logo. I learned it from the Canadian Bible Society. A minister who was in Africa spreading the good word in one of the back regions needed a word for church or gathering people, or gathering of people. The word that the villagers gave him was Haim Unchi Igun Gakhet Igwagfia. It translates into this: a place where people habitually and reciprocally come to hear one another's thoughts. So next year, when the poster comes out, they will read 26th anniversary, that long word, Banff, Alberta. One important thing about this word is the placement of the accent. It must fall in the next to the last syllable, or takes on an entirely different meaning. Another ingredient to the future is enthusiasm, which we get from living masonry. True enthusiasm, however, has very little to do with outward exuberance and very much to do with the inner fire. The word enthusiasm stems from the Greek word enthos, meaning inspired. And the word enthos is derived from an even more ancient Greek word that combines theos, which means God, and entos, meaning within. So the original use of the term enthusiasm literally means the spirit of God within you. The supreme architect of heaven and the builder of the universe created all the beauty of this earth. In the source of all goodness, truth and love, is the spirit who energizes us, encourages truth and love and spirit who energizes us, encourages us, enriches us with fervor to excel. When we come to understand that God's spirit is always within, we will be surprised by the joy and the unbounded enthusiasm we have burning inside. The great writer Ralph Waldo Emerson observed, quote, "We do not yet trust the unknown powers of thought. No matter who is or what job he holds, it is the man who uses his brain who will gain the most power." How can he harness this power? Let's look at what power is. P, power is purpose, ideas, dreams, and goals. Any product of the mind's eye harnessed to a purpose will produce storehouse of power. O, power is open-mindedness. It is having a mind open to new ideas. It is thinking unfettered by preconceived notions. W, power is wisdom. It means strength, tempered by good judgment combined with learning and knowledge. E, power is energy. It is the engine of work, the force of human expression, the capacity for action. And R, power is responsibility. The greater the power, of the greater the responsibility. Power united to responsibility is the source of good works and the increased well-being of all. The definition of power is not to force or manipulate or to have domain over others. Power is the ability, the vigor, the strength to influence others and to control our own destiny. This brings up two important questions that I must ask. With what have you heard, not only tonight, but in the two other papers, can man become master of his destiny? And if so, what is the destiny of Freemasonry? The time has come to close, my brother, but before I do, I would like to do a quick summary. My topic was Masonry Tomorrow, which was introduced by a dream. Masonry is a living program coming from within. I introduced you to some science, a little astronomy, some technology, taught you a new word, talked about the great architect of the universe, enthusiasm, power, all being presented as an educational adventure in masonry, back to the future, and closed with two questions. I have also tried to call upon the three essential senses peculiar to masonry: hearing, seeing, and feeling. You have heard a small portion about the future. Just look around this hall. You see the future, and best of all, with every brother, we greet this weekend with a handshake and a smile. We touch the future and will continue to do so. All right, that's the end of that part. And I wanted to say that if you guys do show some interest, let me know. Shoot me some feedback on the Facebook. And let me know if you guys would like the other two parts of that weekend speeches. If I can find them, I will certainly read them on the program. So moving on into this week's famous Freemason, who I actually learned about through Brother Juan Sepulveda's program when he went and did a lodge visitation just recently. And he had mentioned this guy, and I said, you know, I haven't seen this guy's credentials on any Masonic source. But then I saw the guy's gravestone, and it is abundantly apparent a square and compass would not be on the gravestone of a non-Mason. So I'm talking about John Pemberton. Now, the product that has given the world its best-known taste was born in Atlanta, Georgia on May 8, 1886. Dr. John Stinth Pemberton was a local pharmacist, and he produced the syrup for Coca-Cola. And he carried a jug of the new product down the street to Jacob's Pharmacy, where it was sampled, pronounced excellent, and placed on sale for 5 cents a glass as a soda fountain drink. Carbonated water was teemed with the new syrup to produce a drink that was at once, quote-unquote, delicious and refreshing, a theme that continues to echo today wherever Coca-Cola is enjoyed. Thinking that the two C's would look well in advertising, Dr. Pemberton's partner and bookkeeper Frank M. Robinson suggested the name and penned the new, now famous trademark, Coca-Cola. In his unique script, the first newspaper ad for Coca-Cola soon appeared in the Atlanta Journal, inviting thirsty citizens to try the new and popular soda fountain drink. Hand-painted oilcloth signs reading Coca-Cola appeared on store awnings with the suggestion drink added to inform passersby that the new beverage was for soda fountain refreshment. During the first year, sales averaged at a modest 9 drinks per day. Dr. Pemberton never realized the potential of the beverage he created. He gradually sold portions of his business to various partners, and just prior to his death in 1888, he sold the remaining interest in Coca-Cola to Asa G. Candler, who was an Atlantan with great business acumen, and he actually proceeded to buy the additional rights and acquire complete control. So when you guys do a Google search for the inventor of Coca-Cola, you will get Asa G. Candler's photograph and a little bio from Wikipedia. That's the first thing that pops up. However, you have to dive a little bit deeper to realize that actually Dr. Pemberton was the true inventor of Coca-Cola and was a Freemason. If you do a search for Dr. John Pemberton, you can see his gravestone, and prominently displayed on there is, in fact, a large square and compass. So that's it for this week. I know it was a short one. I do apologize. It's just a bit busy, as I said. So remember to find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Whence Came You, and please remember to see the new live show, Masonic Roundtable. This week, we're going to be on Wednesday, but we will usually always be on Tuesday nights at 9 Central. This week, like I said, Wednesdays at 10 Central is going to be the time to catch us live. If you go on Google+, add us to your circles, and you will get an invite to watch live. Many thanks to everyone out there who has supported this show, and thanks to everyone for listening and sharing. You guys are really the best. I'll talk to you all next week. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.